In light of Women's History Month just behind us and the two-month anniversary of the passing of Congressman John Dingell, I came across this quote, "Change, like healing, takes time." This is Lisa Berry, and joining us now on 89.1 WEMU is someone who might appreciate that quote, Congressman Debbie Dingell. Hello, Congresswoman.
Lisa, how are you?
I'm good. You know, when thinking about local leaders and female role models, of course, Debbie Dingell comes to mind as one of the most powerful and impactful women in Michigan. So here you are on your fifth year in Congress, and yet just under 24% of congressional seats are held by women, which, granted, is an improvement, but do you feel like that things are improving for women?
There's some days I feel like we're making great improvements, and there are other days I feel like we're going backwards. We've come a long way, and I say to people, I'm not old, but I am seasoned, but it's really not that long ago that I entered the workforce. And when I interviewed for my job at General Motors, I got asked, why would a woman want to work at General Motors?
Seriously?
Seriously.
How many years ago was that?
It wasn't that long ago. I mean, it was, you know, it was 30 years ago, but that's not that long ago.
No.
And, you know, I was one of the few women in my class at Georgetown, one of the few women when I first started working at General Motors, and now there's a woman CEO at General Motors. So, you know, we're certainly making progress, but we don't have pay equity yet. We do have more than 100 women in the House of Representatives this year, and they're a very diverse group. They're not a monolithic group. You know, just because you're a woman doesn't mean you and I even think the same, let alone everybody.
Right.
But we've got progress still to make, and we've all got to work together, and women need to support each other.
We're on our second female governor in the history of Michigan, and I spoke to Governor Gretchen Whitmer as part of Women's History Month and asked her about if she thought women were where they need to be in 2019, and we did discuss the equal pay thing. How is that still happening?
Well, you know, I can remember a very long time ago a man saying to me, you know, I'd like to hire more women, but they get pregnant. And I hate, that's no longer politically correct
right.
to say.
Okay.
But, and if you talk to people in the tech world, it's really real. I mean, you don't see women in the tech field, and you don't see it if you talk to people that are starting businesses and you're looking at venture capital. It's the same thing.
Yes.
But I'll tell you something else. We're problem solvers. We're used to having multiple balls in the air, being multitaskers, and figuring out how to get it done. Quite frankly, if there were more women, because we're focused on the end goal of getting it done, I think we'd solve more problems.
I feel it's important also to remind women that we're not competing with each other, that we should be empowering each other.
One of the things that I say repeatedly, and I've said it since I really entered the workforce, when I was younger, and I saw decades ahead of me, many women felt that if one woman got ahead, it would be to the detriment of that woman. And women did not help each other. And I think that's still true today. The Old Boys Network is alive and well. They help each other. They support each other. And by the way, some of those boys help women too. I've been helped by men along the way. But I don't think that women are as good at supporting each other as we need to be. I am where I am because of the women that went before me, and they opened the doors wider, and they put a hand down and helped me climb those stairs. All of us need to understand that. We need to help each other.
How do you, Debbie Dingell, balance being such a powerful member of our government and really being so open and down to earth?
Well, I mean, that's who I am, and I think I'm better and more effective because I do listen to people. I love my staff, and I have a great staff, and they really help people, but I don't like going to events staffed because I want people to be able to talk to me. I like working side by side with people to get things done, and if you do that, you understand what the challenges are. You know, I've had a really hard few months, a few years as a caregiver and navigating the healthcare system. But I'll tell you what, I'm much better at understanding how broken the healthcare system is because I hands-on tried to navigate it and hit my head against the wall a whole lot of times. And I think we need more people that understand the problems that we're working on to really try to solve problems.
Do you think that's the norm, though, in government?
10 years ago, people measured their words. Well, I still think a lot of people measure their words and they're careful about what they say. I always say it was good that I was elected when I was, because I've never been someone that doesn't just say what I think. And it got me in trouble at work for many. My person, you know, when you do all those personality tests, my Myers-Briggs, I was like in less than 1% of what the people were at GM. But I said what I thought in the room, and I say what I think in Washington. And at least my word's my word. And nobody wonders where I stand. Nobody wonders what I think. I say what I think. If I anger some people, I'm sorry. I try to bring people together.
Do you get much pushback from the community? You know, social media can be not so pretty sometimes.
This is one of my real bugaboos right now. Social media was started as a means to unite community, to bring people together. And I think it is single-handedly contributing and destroying community. The rhetoric, the hatefulness, the vitriolicness of some of the things that are said are unforgivable. So it doesn't matter what I say, you're going to get people with hate in social media, and I think it's making it anonymous, and people think they can say whatever they want. And I think our kids are growing up with harder hearts. Everybody likes to blame somebody else. Every last one of us has a responsibility to stand up to that kind of vitriolic rhetoric that you find on social media, that you find in your community, when you hear somebody talking about hatred, and we all have responsibility to start pushing back. I was in March, right after the horrific shooting in New Zealand. I was at one of the vigils and talked about what I'm saying to you is like, I'm not going to stop talking about it, because I think all of us have a responsibility, and it's too easy to duck it and blame it on somebody else, and it's all of our responsibilities. But an imam came up to me and said that he agreed with what I had said, but he said he taught in school, and that he was also worried about the video games the kids are playing and the movies and the books that they're reading, and that the violence in them, the personal attacks on people, the bullying, is hardening children's hearts too. We need to teach our children about caring. You know, I was raised, I had parents, no issues, but the nuns instilled in me very early that I was part of a community and that I had a responsibility to that community as part of it. And I'm very grateful to those nuns, because that's what's made me tick for throughout my life.
You mentioned video games and movies, and I think some of them are pretty intense. Do you think that's desensitizing people to a sense of humanity?
I do. And I think we've got a responsibility as parents, as family, as just members of the community, to remind each other that we have a responsibility to each other, that people have feelings, that they care, that they hurt.
Is that something Congress can do, or perhaps the president, or government leadership?
I think we all have to take responsibility for that. It's not something that can be legislated. It's something we have to teach, act, and feel. I'll post on my Facebook. I do my own Facebook on the personal page. I do all the posting, and I'll say to people, if you have something mean to say, I don't want to hear it today. I try never to take a comment down, because the social media is supposed to be where you can say anything.
Yeah.
But I push back now when people are really hateful and really bigoted or really vitriolic.